Good afternoon. We'll call the Amador Air District Board of Directors meeting for Tuesday, May 17, 2016 to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Note for the record that we have a quorum, quite a quorum today. Probably the biggest group of attendees I've seen in a while.
Super delegates.
Super delegates, there we go. It's all about the election cycle. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll second.
A motion and a second to approve the agenda as submitted. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Public matters not on the agenda. This is discussion items only. No action will be taken. Any person may address the board at this time on any subject within the jurisdiction of the Air District Board of Directors. However, any matter that requires action may be referred to staff and or a committee for a report and recommendation for possible action at a subsequent board meeting. There's a 5-minute limit per topic. Anybody in the audience like to address the board at this time? Seeing none, we will move on to administrative matters. Item number one is the minutes. Review and approval of the March 15, 2016 minutes. Has everyone reviewed those, and are there any comments?
Move to approve a minute. Submitted.
I'll second.
Motion to approve the minutes as presented in a second. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? I'm sorry, I missed this meeting. I will abstain from voting as I was not at the meeting.
Second.
Glass. Item number two on our agenda today, preliminary draft budget for fiscal year 16-17. Jim?
Yes, good afternoon. And this is the draft budget for the upcoming fiscal year 2016-2017. You have a memo along with the revenue and an expenses sheet. And basically the approach, first off, looked at two things. We were looking to construct a budget that allowed us to match our projected expenditures for the year to the projected expenditures, a balanced budget. Obviously, that is, an appropriate approach to a budget. Secondly, we also have the issue of the cash reserves. And as of last year, July 1st, 2015, we had $457,000 in cash reserves. And over the last number of meetings, we've discussed different options for these reserves and how we can expend them, not too fast, but expend them in a manner that gets them back out to the residents of Amador County in a useful way. So that those two main things were kind of the guiding focus of the approach to the budget. And then, again, you have the revenue page and the expense sheet. And on the expense sheet, I have some comments that I left in there. And I just wanted to point those out, if we could, on the expense sheet. You see both on revenue and expenses, the yellow highlighted is the draft budget for 2016-17 on both sheets. But on the expense sheet, we have $7,000 in there, and that's for staff overlap. Chris is going to be retiring at the end of September, and I'm projecting to bring a replacement on board in mid-August, giving us somewhere in the neighborhood of a month to 5, maybe 6 weeks of overlap time, because there's quite a bit that this new person is going to have to absorb, and having Chris having had been here for so long, she's got a wealth of knowledge that we would like to make sure we get before she goes out the door. We also put in a 5% escalation on salaries and benefits. We didn't have the exact number, but felt like 5% just as a placeholder would be appropriate until the exact numbers had come in. And then there's an increase of $600 in office expenses. And the $600 includes one half of my computer. I'm due for a computer upgrade. My computer is starting to show signs of sinking down fast and crashing. And so half of that will be the Air District, and then half will be waste management because my time is split. Then also some admin software if needed, QuickBooks, Adobe, and I'll be working with Chris some more on those things. Professional and specialized services were reduced based upon past actuals. Excuse me. There's an increase of $400 in advertising for the new admin tech position and the rules update that we will be looking at a subsequent meeting. The biomass grant, Buena Vista biomass settlement of $25,000, we are no longer receiving due to the plant closure. We do have $4,395 remaining in that, and we will be looking at some sort of potential program to expend that money that meets the requirement of that settlement between Buena Vista Biomass and the Centers for Biological Diversity. And then lastly, under special projects, we have $80,000 that was brought in, and that is from our cash reserve, and that's going to be funding the new city-county agency diesel engine program that we've discussed at a previous meeting. So I wanted to point out those main highlights to it, and be happy to answer any questions if there are any at this time.
Thank you, Jim. Questions from the board? Jim? Jim? You down there at the end.
Jim, what year are we in? Oh, sorry. What year are we in the repayment cycle on biomass? Is this third year? Was this the third year?
For them to pay the $25,000 to us?
Wasn't it supposed to occur for 5 years?
It was supposed to occur for 3 years for a total of $75,000. We received one payment for $25,000 last year.
So that's it. The first payment.
That's the first payment.
So is there any provision, if they do reoperate at some point, for that to start up again?
I would imagine, yes. If they do restart, that would restart that agreement, would go back into effect.
I'd like to know for sure. So I imagine it's not an answer. I'd like either a yes or a no.
Well, yeah, and actually you bring up even, I think, a more important point that we need to research and get to the bottom of is the fact that they've closed down, does that necessarily stop the repayment from them? Now, according to the folks at Buena Vista Biomass, they believe so, and that they've informed me that they wouldn't be making the payment because they're no longer operating. However, in reading the agreement, and I've got a copy of it, I can pull it up and actually read you the language, but it's a little vague. It says something to effect if they go out of business or no longer, you know, in existence, then that would negate the agreement. But them just kind of, you know, shuttering like they've done, I'm not even sure that completely gets them off the hook of those payments. That's a question, I think, for Greg that I'll need to explore.
Is there any word as to whether the state has been receptive to our requests to support biomass facilities to help cure the bark beetle infestation, quote, statewide disaster?
Yeah, I haven't had anything come back, Supervisor Plass, on that. The last I heard is Mike Mustin from Buena Vista Biomass was thinking that this is ultimately going to take some litigation and could take a year or more before really anything happens. But he thinks that you know, there's a very good possibility that if it does go to litigation, that they will prevail and they will be back open sometime down the road. But it doesn't look like anytime soon.
Other questions, comments regarding the budget? I have a couple, Jim.
Okay.
The just general statement for future budget cycles.
Sure.
It would be helpful on both the revenue and expense sheets to have a column for actuals, and that'd be for the 14-15 budget year. I'm not so interested in the change column, but an actual for 14-15 would have been handy.
Okay.
And then for 15-16, a projected year end would have been helpful so that we could sort of look at the request in light of what we expected this current fiscal year to end up. Not a flaw, just an enhancement that would be helpful in the future.
Especially the actuals would be nice. So, a question, Jim, on the revenue. You're showing an increase of about $15,000 on permits and emissions.
That's right.
Where do you expect those increases to come from?
Yeah, we looked at, Chris, we looked at that and we, can you help remind me?
Part of that came from overages that we were actually seeing over several years that we weren't accounting for in the revenue. So what we've done is we've picked those funds up and now put them into the revenue stream. For example, we increased the PERP that we get slightly. That was $1,000 or $2,000 that we increased there. And I believe the permits themselves are actually up a little bit from what we had been projecting in the past. Also, DMV, we've increased some because we're actually seeing about $180,000 each year instead of $170,000 that we'd been talking about previously. There was some adjustments to make up for things that were actually happening, mm-hmm. as opposed to suddenly discovering more money.
So the permits and emissions, 46940, consist of about three or four different things, right, Chris? And what we found is the, again, to get to Mr. Peters' comment, the actuals showed up higher than what we were projecting, and so we were able to capture that in this budget year.
I've got one more question. What were the actuals on all the pine needle bin projects? You know, roughly.
The actuals for the cost.
Yeah.
The cost.
15-16.
Yeah, 15-16. Well.
We're still in that.
14. Yeah, it should be.
About the 14-15.
Yes.
I can get that number and email it to all of you off the top of my head. I do not have it.
And our number for, we're still in 15-16. We're basically pretty much done with a 15-16 program, aren't we? Pretty close.
Well, and more to the point, perhaps, I think we made some significant changes in 15-16 by expanding the program. So
almost
projected year end for that particular program for 15-16 would be very, very informative.
In fact, I can run the budget to actuals for the 14-15 year and that to all of you if you would like. That would give you those 15-16 actuals that you were asking for.
I was wondering, so when 15-16 is done, do you think we'll be close to that $70,000 we're proposing for our next budget?
Absolutely.
That's true.
The reason we're going to get through the month of May with money left over is because when we get the billing for June, that will actually be paid in June. Otherwise, we'd be asking you for more money to pay for June. But because it gets paid in July, we don't need to do that.
As you know, it's a fairly, it seems to be a fairly popular program to a certain degree. Some people, a lot of people love it. Some people hate it. One thing I was wondering about is, is something we could consider maybe scaling that back a little bit and putting some of that money towards the cities and counties as far as updating equipment. I don't know what kind of response we've had there, but as I remember, it was a pretty good response from the cities and the county as far as using that to get cleaner burning equipment.
We do have a good response, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the city-county agency diesel program. The Pine Needle Bin program, I think we originally started with, was it $40,000? And then we got an additional $30,000 for a total $70,000. The way we've been operating the program, and keep in mind, we were shut down for the winter months. We didn't want to haul wet, green waste and a bunch of water. So we were shut down, and we restarted just April 1st. We're being careful not to just, we get a lot of calls, and people all over the place would like to have their own personalized bin right outside their back door. And we're very careful to make sure that these programs benefit a neighborhood, a group of residents that can take advantage of it. And some people, we have to tell them, no, we can't do it right now. Maybe down the road, maybe a few months down the road. So we're very cautious about how we how deep we get into this program. And at that rate, we've been able to sustain it at that $70,000 amount.
You'll probably see, I think, I can almost support it more this year than other years, because I think with all the bug trees, you'll probably see people have more stuff they're trying to get rid of.
That's true.
I was up Buckhorn yesterday. I was tiptoeing around Lynn's district, and I went behind the Buckhorn grocery store. I got a relative that has a piece of ground there, and there's like 15, 20 dead trees behind the store, but there's about 50 more that are going to die probably next 2 months. And I went, whoa. I think what you're seeing there is a snapshot of what's going to happen in some other places where you see 10 trees, you're going to see 20, 30 in a few months a lot of times.
Yeah, we're getting calls from people that have not real big pieces of property, maybe a couple acres or something, and they're having 10 or 20 dead trees, that they've got to deal with. So, the tree mortality is a big problem for people. Then they're left with it. What do they do with it? How do they get rid of this stuff?
I wish we still had our sawmill, but the environmentalists took care of that.
Yeah.
So Jim, we had asked you a couple months back to look into additional funding sources to support that program. And I'm sure that's still a work in progress, but, considering Director Onetta's comments about the bug trees and the nexus between dead vegetation and a need for a place to put it and the bug trees, is there any money associated with that particular issue, that problem, that can be perhaps tapped to help fund our bin program?
I did have a conversation with John Heisenbuttel, and I need to follow up with him and find out, what might be available. I don't have anything identified as of right now, but I will make a note to come back to our next meeting and see if I can identify some additional sources of revenue.
I can share that Supervisor Forrester and I are leading a tree mortality team to try to get access to the state emergency monies. The unfortunate thing about that money is that it's only allowed to be used for infrastructure. So no private property owners have access to it. So we are, so there may be some of those collapsed trees that, if they're close enough to a county road, would be eligible to be taken down with that money. But I think we're still hoping to get some other money to be used more broadly.
Notwithstanding Director Onetta's comment about maybe scaling back the program and shifting monies to other programs, in a perfect world, I'd like to see the program expanded but we've got to find another source of revenue to do that, or a partner that can contribute revenues in parallel with ours. I don't want to see all the air districts' reserves go into this one program. As good as it may be, we've got other things to do as well.
Right.
But if we could leverage our success with the program and bring in other partners that have perhaps funds from another direction, another source, that would be, I think, an ideal scenario and one that we should pursue. I know in Sutter Creek, the BIN program is immensely popular, very well considered, and certainly like to see it continue, and I'm sure other communities. Just rattle off a list of where those BINs are again. I know there's some upcountry. There's one in Sutter Creek.
Silver Drive.
Lockwood has one.
Yeah. Taboo. Lockwood. Matt, the other ones.
Taboo Road.
Taboo.
Yeah. Those are permanent-ish.
The original needle bins.
We've got smaller programs for neighborhood.
Right.
And they're trying to keep one bin at least active.
At the risk of throwing cold water on this, we're probably a little off topic here, off the agenda. You know, on our next agenda, can we put the BIN program on as a line item for discussion, just as a general discussion item, and
sure,
redefine where we're going with it and how we're going to get there?
I'd like to ask you a question with respect to potential longer-term funding. Would you suggest that that I approach the cities and the county to see if those entities have an interest in contributing to this program?
I wouldn't. That isn't exactly what I had in mind. And well, the cities, I can speak at least for one city.
I thought you could.
There are no revenues available to support this kind of a program. Just not there.
Okay.
So I don't know how the other cities, maybe Pat can chime in, but, spare revenues for a program like this is, again, as efficacious as it is, just aren't there.
Yeah.
Think so.
Well, I just, yeah.
That was one reason why I brought up the question about equipment. And I think this year I could see keeping the bins probably the funding level you're looking at, because it would probably be a huge demand, more so than normal. But in down the road, I mean, that's why I would consider, could we scale it back some? It's possible, because I think it'd be very, I mean, have a lot of benefit to this community if it could help buy some better equipment for the cities and the county to that burns cleaner. So, and also you have some better equipment to do repairs and infrastructure, roads and whatever it may be.
Let's bring this back for a robust discussion.
Sure.
When it's properly agendized.
Sure. Okay.
Jim, I do have another question or two regarding the budget.
Okay.
I noticed that you pretty carefully balanced revenues and expenses so that they are roughly equal, but you started with a $50,000 chunk of operating capital at the beginning of the year. So really, we've overspent annualized revenues by about 50 grand. Would you agree with that?
That's true.
Was that an oversight, or was that your intention? And where did why is the 50 grand there? I assumed it was operating capital until I started looking more deeply at the numbers. What's going on there?
Well, that's a rollover amount that would come from unexpended funds from the prior year. And you're right, that's one of the things, and I'm striving for, in a perfect world, I'd like to have the expenses meet the incoming revenues for the coming year. Not quite there yet. I think in the prior year's budget, we had $150,000 shown on that line. So what I'm doing is trying to work that down incrementally, and I believe hopefully by next year's budget, I'd like to get to the point where we don't show that that money there, that any money that we're going to take either rollover or from reserves is going specifically to the city county agency diesel program or going to lawnmower or going to whatever it may be, a chipper, grinder. That's my goal, Robin, but you're right, that is funds that are supporting our overall operating budget that are being pulled over.
Yeah, and I just wanted to point out that, you know, we're talking about a balanced budget with revenues and expenditures matching, and that's really not what we have here.
That's true. That's true. That is true.
I know just, for, you know, we'll get a little farther on in the agenda, and we'll talk about the lawnmower program. If that program materializes, will we need to find a line item in the expense side of the budget to accommodate it? And if so, what do you think the magnitude of that number would be?
And when we get to it, I'm thinking start out kind of as a small manageable pilot project, maybe $25,000, $30,000, something like that, and we could find a line to put that into. And what we're doing is we're looking at the draft budget today, and then in August we'll bring it back for final approval and the public hearing. So we don't necessarily have to approve a budget today, just approve kind of where we're at with it, with whatever recommendations I get to go back and bring back for you.
All right, are there any other comments, questions about the budget? Is there any other direction for staff? Okay, hearing none. Do you have enough direction from us? This doesn't look like it requires action. You're just
looking
for direction.
That's right. I've got it.
You continue on and bring us back a finalized document.
So do you want to see something besides the special projects line item to encapsulate the potential for the lawnmower or other programs? My understanding is that's the definition as far as a budgetary line item that those projects would fall under, special projects, but it appears that it's 100% comprised of the city county diesel program.
Could we put it in a line right under there?
Why don't we jump to that, make our way to that
okay. Line
item in the agenda, and then if we're going to pursue it, we can talk about how to fit it into the budget at that point. Fair?
Sounds good.
Okay. Moving on to item number three, the City, Counties, and Agencies Diesel Project.
Yes. And so what you have in there is a draft letter agreement that I'd like to use with the different entities that will be taking advantage of this program, and think that if you have any input or suggestions, would welcome that. And then once I get the okay on this, I would be proceeding to move forward at the beginning of the new fiscal year, July 1st, with the program and getting some equipment replaced out there.
Thank you, Jim.
No, Jim, this is worded in a manner that seems a little different than what I recall it being envisioned, and that is this is strictly an engine replacement program where I thought in some instances it was about replacing equipment in general. Or like patterned after the Carl Moyer. I mean, do any other board members aren't busy checking their emails and Facebook?
I actually have the same thought.
Because, John, we were talking about generators in some cases.
Yeah, and even, you know, trucks and
sewer plant in Jackson, that's what we were.
We do have them, yeah, on the list. So,
John's talking about the wording.
The wording of your agreement talks about, you know, purchase and install the engine, and for call the district for a post-replacement inspection of the new engine. And
yeah, I see your point on that. It could have been that in my effort to come up with some sort of, you know, template or guideline. I borrowed from what I had seen done previously, and so it may make this appear more engine-specific, but you're right. It should be equipment, and I can certainly take another look at it and change this so that the tone includes both engines and equipment.
Is there general consensus about the structure of the form? Does that part of it look okay? If we can tweak the language, just trying to save some time so that it doesn't have to come back to us again.
Sure.
Anybody else have comments regarding the form itself?
You could, guarantee requirements, call district to discuss the planned engine or equipment replacement, and then on three, the same thing could be inserted. Then I think it would be fine.
That's right, yeah.
Four. Well, the purpose paragraph
and five.
Also.
And five, I guess.
Pretty much the whole.
Four and five.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
The purpose up top. CCD engine program is a specific replacing older diesel engines.
So perhaps if you went back to the agenda that contained the action that the board took on this program, just match the language here to the language in that agenda packet.
Absolutely. Will do.
Yeah.
So that it isn't specific to engine but talks about equipment as well.
The water agencies was a generator.
It is, and I have them on the list too, so I certainly, yeah, my intention was not to make it appear as though we're excluding any of those projects, and I will go back at this.
A quick look at it. I think that if we just genericize it to, say, equipment, it covers both, whether it be an engine or it be whatever.
I wouldn't necessarily eliminate the suggestion that these various agencies could also use this program to replace an engine in an existing piece of equipment rather than the whole piece of equipment.
Good point.
But it definitely need to include equipment. You know, it's not a prerequisite that all they're replacing is the engine.
Chris, do you have at your fingertips
$25,000?
Do you have at your fingertips the date that the board took action on that?
It would have been the January 15th or 17th meeting.
19th, January 19th. Yeah, there it is. You're right. See what the agenda says.
City County Agency Equipment Program.
Help. Yeah, staff has reviewed the responses. Yeah. It will assist the agencies in complying with regulation. Help the air district bring equipment into compliance. It is either currently out of compliance.
Or.
This is sort of general as well.
This is general. Yeah, what we did back in January was a general kind of to equipment, and today we have engines, so I think what I can do is approach it and blend it so we're covered.
When do you hope to get this out?
Well, let's see. Our next meeting is August. Is that right?
We have an open slot in June if we want to have a quick meeting. Otherwise, our next meeting is in August.
You'd like to get this out before then?
Probably would like to get it out before then.
Is the board... I'm sorry.
You need to have that meeting in June for your budget, too, don't you? Final budget adoption?
We can do that in August.
We can't get the public hearing noticed in time for the June.
So, is the board comfortable giving Jim direction to modify the language to better suit the intent of the board based on our action in January, based on the form of the document as it is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm comfortable with that as well.
Could I share it with the chairman, maybe?
Okay. Sure, I'd be happy to work with you on the final language.
Sure.
So the recommendation today is to approve the draft letter, presumably as it will be amended to fine-tune the language.
That's right.
Is there a motion in that regard?
I will so move.
I'd second, Mr. Chairman.
I have a motion and a second to approve the draft city-county agency diesel engine program application form with amendments to the language to make it less specific with respect to engine replacement. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, moving on to item number four, the lawnmower replacement project. Jim?
In the memo, I mentioned that there has been some comment and some discussion at these meetings regarding lawnmower program, and I know it was mentioned at our last meeting along with the wood stove program and also possibly a tub grinder or chipper program. So anyways, for this meeting, I brought forward the lawnmower program and put in a sheet on the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District, their lawnmower rebate program. And I just wanted to get some feedback from the board of directors on if, number one, this is a program that is of interest to the group, and if so, would we like to move towards getting something in place?
Thank you, Jim. Questions from the board?
The question I'd have is, how many really old lawnmowers do we have out there in the first place? I mean, lawnmowers normally don't last forever. I'd question how much bang we get for a buck doing this.
I think that has been kind of the opinion of this board. Is just kind of
right.
A lack of a bang for the buck on this particular program. And I was just looking for the email. I don't know if it was in a budget review of the governor's upcoming budget, but I believe there's a proposal at the state level regarding wood stove replacement and upgrades to more cleaner, greener wood stove replacements, particularly in rural areas. And it just seems like if that's going to be brought forward at the state level, maybe leveraging those funds with ours on the wood stove program gets us, from a rural perspective especially, a better bang for the buck than lawnmower replacement.
He had me worried for a second. You're going on about wood stove. We're talking about
I'm just remembering having read that, and that's our next agenda item. But you know, this is about, are we going to go forward with this program? And I'm saying let's keep our powder dry for the.
I think you got a good point there, John. I mean, I just replaced my lawnmower about 2-3 years ago, and I had a Honda. It's about a $700 lawnmower, and it quit self-propelling, so I replaced it with a brand new Honda, self-propelled, another $700. And, you know, they're all California CARB compliant. And so lawnmowers really don't last that long these days that I can see.
Anybody else?
So you don't have, since we haven't approved this yet, you don't have it in your proposed budget?
I don't have it in here right now. No.
Okay. And we just said we don't know how many are out there that would take advantage of this, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I would, if we were to move in this direction, I would suggest a fairly small pilot project to begin with to see what kind of response we got to it. It would have to be accounted for in the budget when we come back in August.
I read in the minutes from the last meeting that Ray was talked in some detail about being proactive in the air basin and programs that would be considered proactive are a wood stove replacement program, we'll talk about that, and a lawnmower replacement program. And I understand that. That shows the ARB that we're, you know, actively engaged in trying to improve air quality. But I am not familiar with the statistics. What the contribution, what, you know, pro rata contribution old lawnmowers have to the overall degradation in air quality in our basin, specifically here, given all the other sources of air pollutants. So I'd be a little hesitant to blast forward and with another 25 or 30 grand worth of money mm-hmm. on a program that may not really gain us much. It may look good on paper, and it may show the ARB that we're really being progressive in this regard, but you know, if we're really not improving air quality much, I wouldn't feel really good about embarking on that kind of a program. Can you bring us more information with respect to, you know, where this fits in the overall pollutant mix and whether it's really worth pursuing? I guess the density of lawnmowers per acre here in our air basin is quite a bit different than it is down farther west.
Yes.
And I'm not sure that taking, I'm not sure because I simply don't know the statistics, that taking a couple of handfuls of lawnmowers out of our air district is really where we should be focusing.
Yeah.
I think you make a good point. So up in my district, there are not that many lawnmowers.
There are no lawnmowers, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I'd be interested to see if there's data in publication that would support the need for this kind of a program here in our rural area.
I will look into that. I've heard some references to different numbers on the contribution of lawnmowers, and I don't have those right offhand, but I can get those. I know that most of the older lawnmowers don't have any type of emission controls whatsoever, and I used to push around an old Toro lawnmower, and within 3 minutes of getting behind it, I got this incredible headache, and always in the back of my head here, and I'm sure it's because of the exhaust that was coming off of it. But so I know that there is a contribution to the extent, and then further the extent up here in our area would be worth looking into. But you know, there has been comments regarding the Pine Needle Bend program and how it does tend to focus upcountry, and so this was proposed as possibly something that contribute more to the lower downcountry folks.
Oh, you see, this is basically a proposal to make it more equitable for all districts, then, basically.
Trying to work towards that.
And I think that's an appropriate goal. I'd like to have a little bit of data to support
sure.
the program, rather than just blasting forward.
Other than my headaches.
Yeah, your headache.
You know,
that tension headache comes from pushing the lawnmower. That's why you buy one with the deal you pull that makes it go on its own, rotate the tires. I didn't have any more headache after that.
Or a beer holder. And
there you go.
I think you'd get a lot further with this group if you had a chainsaw change-out program.
So Jim, can you? I don't mean to send you on a big research project,
well,
but if you
is
could,
that what we want to do?
Well, yeah.
I hear Robin mentioning that, but is that what the board wants to do? Is task you with
not
another research of statistics, or just say we don't see the bang for the buck in this program? Let's move on to wood stoves.
I don't have enough information to even say that. So.
Well,
one way or the other,
I tend to agree with our chair, and I can't believe it would be very difficult to get your hands on that data. And for me, while you're at it, I'd like to see data about regular wood-burning stoves, too.
Plus, I'd like to know if we have a program to build new fences for my lawnmowers, because they've been getting out in the neighbors.
Yeah.
Let's bring some more information back. I'm getting a tension headache just listening to this. So. Some of us have a 4:30 obligation.
Don't spend more than an hour on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Right, that's right.
All right. Item number 5, wood smoke support letter. Jim?
Yeah, and this is the one that Supervisor Plass was referencing. And this comes from a request from CAPCOA, the Air Pollution Control Officers Association, asking for letters of support and maintaining the wood stove change-out program as part of the governor's cap-and-trade expenditure plan, including $40 million for black carbon wood smoke reduction, which includes the wood stove change-out program. They sent a template letter, and I've modified that slightly and included it for your review.
You know, one thing I'd like to see added in here, Jim, maybe it's a little short blurb talking about, especially in low-income homes or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to keep that out there. I don't want to. I think the state has looked at possibly banning wood stoves some point in the future, or wood burning. They'd like to, and I'd like to keep that opportunity available for people in rural areas because it's really important. And if somebody has a lot of low income people, it doesn't cost them much to go out back and cut up some dead trees and clean up the forest and heat their homes.
Yeah, in the second sentence, it references rural and low-income communities.
I missed that. Okay.
That rely on wood heating for a large percentage of their heating requirements. So I know that it is mentioned in there.
Yeah, that's fine. I missed it. I don't know why, but I didn't.
Black carbon wood smoke, Jim. How do you define that? Or is that just a fancy name for the program? I'm thinking of our debris bins again and the wood smoke that doesn't occur as a result of composting that material. I'm looking for a hook for money, Jim. You got to work with us here. $40 million, we could
yeah, the
pop a straw into that and do a great deal of good to our...
I was at a meeting and black carbon wood smoke was mentioned and I thought it was an oxymoron. I said, isn't all carbon black? Apparently not. Apparently there's researchers at universities all over the place that are researching different types of carbon, the black carbon and the lighter carbon. So that's the extent of my knowledge.
This is carbon.
I guess my point was, you may want to sniff at this a little bit and see if there's a hook that we can...
Okay, sure.
Get us
sure.
some money for our bin program.
I got you.
Does anybody have any other comments on the draft letter?
I noticed on the PG&E's EPA report in Iona, it stated that rotting wood produces more greenhouse gases than burning wood. For your information.
That's what we tried.
Not really a hook, but that's kind of the other direction.
That's what we tried to tell CBD when they sued the biomass plant.
Yeah, methane is the big killer. So.
That's right.
Well, Dan, you better find a program to stop that wood from rotting.
I'm going
to
do something about that.
Any other comments on the letter?
But don't burn it.
Is there a motion to approve the letter?
I'll move.
Right, the district chair to sign.
I'll move, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to authorize the chair to sign the draft letter of support. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
First on that?
I had Forster and Plass. I have item number 6 up next.
Okay, and the Air Pollution Control Officer's update. I can move through this pretty quickly here. Smoke reduction bin program we've talked about quite a bit. The program has been up and running since the 1st of April, and I think our expenses were in the neighborhood of about $7,000 for April. So we're continuing with the program. Have had in light of the Butte fire last year, there has been quite a bit of interest in this program. Fire Safe Day in May had that last Saturday up at Pine Grove Park. Supervisor Boitano and Morgan were both up there, and I thought it was very, very well attended. Lots of good questions, lots of good information available. We certainly felt, from the Air District perspective, that it was a good use of time and a good day up there in Pine Grove Park. Next, the ARB Emergency Response Meeting in Amador County. This is interesting. Last year, I had a small meeting with ARB and their emergency response folks who put out those mobile monitors during wildfire events. I had a meeting here with them and with our John Silva OES and with Dr. Kerr and with Joanne from the schools and staff from the Air District, and we had a really good meeting. As it turns out, it was very timely because it was right before the Butte fire. Well, ARB has kind of taken our idea and expanded it statewide. They're now doing these meetings across the state, and the first one they're going to do, they've asked if Amador could host the meeting, and they're going to bring in, it's going to be opened up to our neighboring counties, El Dorado and Calaveras, and maybe even some of the other ones. So we haven't finalized the date of it, but we're looking at having this kind of workshop meeting here soon. And district-owned air monitors, and the next one, rules update. I have those more as placeholders because these things have been discussed previously, and they will need to be brought back. I don't have anything specific on these two items, but I wanted them there more to remind me and to remind you, the board of directors, that these items have been discussed, and we can bring them back for more discussion if that's what's desired. And the district-owned air monitors came up last meeting when we were talking about this ozone advance program and the fact that there's transport from lower in the valley up here, and it might be beneficial if the district owned a monitor or two, and we could put it out, collect data, use that data to be able to, you know, make some sort of argument with the ARB regarding our classification with the ozone designation.
Jim, do you have any idea what the cost of those would be?
I haven't looked into those. Do you remember, Matt?
If you go with the smaller units, they're about 2,000. If we're talking just for greenhouse, also to the EBAM. Also telemetry satellite, and give everyone, if you want. About $2,000 for a small unit, no matter what gases you're trying to. But the EBAMs are the upper echelon.
Was there a question about whether our data would be accepted by ARB?
There is a question, and I will need to research that and confirm that that would be able to be used and accepted by ARB, because right now ARB has their monitors and they use their data off of their monitors to make the determination. But they do have this rural transport program, and so, you know, to qualify for the rural transport, we'd have to demonstrate that there's, you know, pollutants being transported in. To do that, we would need our own monitors. So I think, you know, it's just going to take a little work with the ARB.
Sorry again.
We get that on our next agenda, sort of a
sure.
Full report on whether ARB will accept data generated by us and from what level of sophistication advice or a piece of equipment that we need.
Right.
Provide them data that they'll accept.
Sure.
I'd be also interested to know not just the capital cost of the equipment, but the ongoing calibration and maintenance costs. Some of those instruments can be tricky, and calibration is, I mean, they're no good if they're not routinely calibrated. So be sure to dial that into the cost picture.
We'll do. and the rules update will be brought back at another time. Financials are included for April 2016, and then the next meeting at this point we're scheduled for August 16th, 2016.
I had a question. Bringing up the date, how many monitors do they have in the county now?
Just one.
Just the one? Just one of them. Still at the Highway Patrol?
That's right.
Wouldn't our self, if we had one ourselves, we would put one that was not sitting in a hole with a, I mean, wouldn't there be some advantage to us having information that was better than what they're generating on theirs by having it sitting in a hole?
I think you're right. I think, you know, having a monitor sitting in a bowl where, you know, it's doing nothing but collecting the vehicle smoke or the vehicle exhaust from the highway, we would potentially benefit from having one in a different location, especially if it's in a location where we could demonstrate, you know, maybe that it's that some of the pollutants are coming in, being transported up from the valley. So, yes, the answer to your question is yes.
Are there other questions, comments about the APCO's update? You got that look on your face like you have something important to say. Okay, there is no correspondence. We'll adjourn. Our next meeting is August 16, 2016. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. He's got something important to say, but you've got to turn off the mic.